all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Libby. Thank you for that. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning and being a part of our service. I understand all the children are in here this morning, so I will be not too lengthy for you, for you don't have to wrestle them too much. Take your Bibles, be turning to Matthew chapter 6. We continue our series in Restoring My Joy. We started back down that a couple of weeks ago, and so we're back in it again. Today we're going to be talking about prayer. This will be something that's pretty familiar to most of us in here. We call it the Lord's Prayer, or some people call it the Disciples' Prayer. It's a model prayer. It's not a mimic prayer. You know what I mean by that? Well, a model is Jesus is giving them a model to go by. But he's not saying that you have to do this every time you meet, okay? So a lot of people are caught up into that where you go through the Lord's Prayer all the time. And that's great. Good prayer, okay? But that's not what he's saying here. So Matthew chapter 6 there in verses 9 through 15 is where we're going to begin at. So the question we're asking today is this, is do I really pray? You ever felt like your praying doesn't get any higher than the ceiling? Well, that's all of us can say that, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. And so we're in good company. Here we have the apostles are asking Jesus the same thing, saying, you know, we want you to teach us how to pray. They didn't ask him to teach them how to preach or do any other thing else. They said, we need to teach you how to pray, and we need to realize that praying is something that's serious business. It's our communication with God. It means something to us, and it's our fellowship with God, and we have to understand that. So that's how we communicate with God. And so praying is not just saying something to God. It's also listening back to him and seeing what he says to us. That doesn't mean he's going to speak to you in an audible voice. He never has me, okay? But he lets us know through our spirit. He gives us impressions. He gives us direction. Things like that, as we're going to see here today, okay? So Matthew chapter 6, starting there in verse 9 through 15. It says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Then he goes on in verse 13. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you've forgiven men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men when they're sinned, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, dear God, and we come to this special portion of Scripture that many of us love and respect, God, and have memorized as children and have grown up with it, Lord. It's something that's very special to us, Lord, because it has meaning there. It has substance to it. It teaches us something, how intimate you want to have a relationship with us and how much we need you. And so, God, the apostles ask the same thing that we do today is teach us how to pray. God, we want to have that fellowship with you. We want to have that closeness with you, Lord. So teach us something here this morning that we might apply to our lives, that our lives might be changed, Lord, and we might be drawn closer to you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. So do we really pray? That's the question we're asking today. Or do we just kind of have a grocery list? A lot of people have that. And so a lot of times our prayers are just this. It's about all our wants and about all our needs. And it's, God, give me this, bless me, and protect me. And so you need to, you know, look at your prayers when you pray. Think about your prayers. I prayed a long time until I went to a prayer conference one time. And it began to ask us to dissect our prayers and look what we do and see what our prayers are about. Well, what I found out was my prayers were mostly about me, okay? And it's about what I wanted and what I needed. And that was basically all I ever prayed. And what Libby was singing about just a minute ago, it's what we have to realize is a lot of times all we see God is some kind of something that hands out to us. That's how we see God. And so we have to see God in two aspects of it. It's who God is, but it's also what God can do for us. And so when we come to God, we have to realize that he is holy and we're not. And when we pray, we have to realize that we're going to a holy God. And we're praying not only for what he can give us, but for who he is. And we thank that. And we're going to see this in the first part here, this text here. So our prayer should not just be a grocery list of what I want and what I need out of life. And so I encourage you, look at your prayers and think about how you pray in the morning and how you pray at different times. And is this all about you and your family and what God can do for you? Or is it this time every now and then you just spend and just say, God, I just want to say how much I love you and how much you mean to me and how much I thank you for being God and even creating me. And so there needs to be some of that in our praying, and we're going to see that. So this is different types of prayer. There's different types of prayers when you look at the Bible. There's prayer of faith, there's prayer of agreements, there's prayer of requests, there's prayer of confession, there's prayer of worship, there's prayer of intercession, there's prayer of judgments, there's prayer of the Spirit, there's prayer for directions. And so prayer is something that should be a daily part of our lives. It should be just as common as us as breathing in and out. And we, and you know, the Bible tells us we can pray continuously. So what does that mean? How can I pray continuously? We talked about this a few Wednesday nights ago. What it means is if we're in a consciousness of prayer, that we're always aware that God's around us, that God's, you know, if He's involved in our lives. And so it's not just when something happens to us, good or bad, it's God's always a part of our lives. And so it's just little prayers. We pray, God bless me, God thank you, God, what do I need to do here? So there's little mimic, or little, short prayers that we pray throughout the day. And we have to realize that. And so we need to realize that what prayer is a part of our lives, and it carries us through lives. It helps us keep closer to God. And it's not just teaching us at a certain time of the day or things like that. It's teaching us to realize that God's in our presence all the time, and He's directing our lives, and we're understanding that. So here's what happens to some people. Some people, they pray when things are good. They say, thank God. And some people only pray when things are bad, and they say, oh, my God. And I realize a lot of times when I get around folks, a lot of times they talk more about God than I do. And even though they don't even believe or have never had a relationship with God, because they use God's name in vain. And any time we use God's name casually, then we need to realize that's using God's name in vain. It doesn't mean that we're just cussing God. It doesn't mean that or using God's name in a cuss word, okay? What it means is we're using it flippantly. That we don't understand the holiness of God and how much and who he really is, and we don't understand the respect we're to give Him, and it teaches us here in these verses here. And so, but what happens a lot of times is that we need to have a mindset of God, and He's with us every step of every day. So, what does the model prayer look like? Well, what the model prayer looks like is Jesus is going through here and He's teaching them how to pray. And so some people call this the disciples' prayer, the apostles' prayer, because He's teaching them what to pray. But again, it's not something we're just to mimic. We're just to go through and get up every morning and quote the Lord's Prayer and think we're doing it. It's a model, and it's laid out here. So we're going to dissect it a little bit, okay? The first thing we see here in verse 9 is it's a prayer of praise. It says this in verse 9. It says, this then is how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, there's a word that we don't usually say very much, hallowed. And so what does that mean? It means to show respect, or it means to show honor to it. It means to set apart. And so it's entering into a time of prayer, realizing that praying is a type of worship, that we're worshiping here, and we need to see it as that. We worship Him for who He is, and worship is exalting God, and it's submitting to God. It's saying, God, we know that You're God and we're not. And we have to remind ourselves sometimes of that. He is a creator, life giver, savior, father, holy and loving. And so He's God and we're not. So it's lowering us, but it's exalting Him. And we need to understand that. That's what praise does. When we praise God, it's exalting Him. And when we truly worship God, we better understand who He is, but we better understand who we are also. And that's sometimes hard to do sometimes. And so we see it as a father and as a father with children. So we're His children and He's our Heavenly Father. And so we're to exalt Him. We're to respect Him. We're to honor Him. And so right here in the first verse here is saying that we need to praise God. Praise and worship is what God desires for us. It's how we fellowship with Him. So how's your fellowship with God? You say, well, how do I fellowship? Well, you pray. You read the Bible. You spend time with Him. And that's what God wants us. That's what God created us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us here. Today you might think that God's mad at you, but Wednesday night we learned that God's mad about us. And that's why He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, because He loves us and He cares about us. And He wants you that much that He was willing to give the most valuable thing to Him was His Son. He sent Him to die for us because He cares and He loves you. And you need to realize that regardless of who you are or what you've done, God loves you. Get it? Good. God loves you. Remember that. A lot of people don't understand that God loves them. I say this all the time. God loves you just as much as He does me. God loves you just as much as He does Billy Graham. God loves you just as much as He does Martin Luther King or anybody great that you think of. God loves you just that much, okay? God doesn't have His favorites, and we need to understand that. So God loves us right where we're at today. Doesn't mean He approves of everything we do. We know that. God doesn't. But I don't have my children, but I still love them. I still care about them, okay? And so we have to understand praise and worship brings us in that closeness of God, and it gives God what He desires, and it gives us what we need that we have that relationship with Him. So praise is an act of reverence to Him, but it's also an act of humility to us. It lowers us. It shows us that we're human, that we're not God. and we don't have the world in our hands, and we can't take care of everything, and there's things that are out of control. And as we mature in Christ, we realize that more, that we become more dependent on Him because we're not God. And there's a lot of things in life are going to happen and go on that you have no control over, okay? And that's when that's the only time a lot of people go to God. It's like, oh, I can't control this, so, oh, God, okay? Well, is that the only time you call on Him, you know? It should be something that you do on a daily basis, not just on a time when you feel like that you have a need. So we praise God. That's the first thing. Then we get into a petition, and we do a lot of this. We do petitioning of God, okay? And that's found in verses 10 through 11. It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread." And so it's a petitioning of God. Your will be done. We desire God's will over our will. And so what we're saying here is, God, we want your will to be done in our lives, not ours. What happens in life is this. We become independent. And we all have our dreams and aspirations, and we have our goals and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with those things as long as they're in line with what God wants. And so what we're doing here is we're telling God, we want what you want for our lives. You know why? Listen, when you learn to trust God, that's what you'll really want. What you need to realize in life is when you really get to know God and you really trust God, you'll want what He wants for your life because that's what's best. See, He created you. He made you. He knows what it's going to take to satisfy you. He knows what it's going to take to give you peace and joy and patience and all the things that we want out of life. He understands that. And a lot of times, it's a different direction than we're going because, one, we think we know better than God does. Now, that's what sin is. And so when you petition God and you come before Him, what Jesus is teaching me here, He's saying, God, here I am, and I want to be the person you want me to be. And I want to do the things that you want me to do. And here I am. Here's my life. And let your will be done. Listen to what He says here. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us today. Forgive us. Lead us. Deliver us. You hear all the things He's saying here. He's saying what? He's showing a dependence on God. Jesus is showing you have a dependence on the Father. You need to realize that. And your prayer needs to reflect that. And so the prayer petition is acknowledging our need for God. We have a need for God. And a lot of times we don't understand that. Just the times that we get in problems and we think we got the life figured out, and every now and then God just allows or causes something in our lives to show us just how out of control this world really is. Without Him in control, it's out of control. And we can't control a lot that goes on in our lives. And so the prayer petition acknowledges our need for God in our lives. And God is what we need in our lives. And God, I need you, and I want you to be a part of my life. And when we pray that, what it does is it opens up the door for God to fellowship with us. And we don't just say that with our words. We mean it with our hearts. Our prayers are not just something we do with our head. It's something we do with our hearts. And it's a sincerity. It's a true desire, and God can tell the difference. I mean, you might come in here and pray a beautiful prayer, and you might fool us and go out here and live like a heathen, okay? But God knows your heart. God knows my heart. He knows if I really mean this or not. And so it's a sincerity when we say, God, I really want you to be in control of my life. And what we do here is this, is that we're accepting our dependence on God. God, that every breath that I breathe and every drink that I just, have you ever thanked God for a drink of water, you know? It's so abundantly over here. It's so abundantly. But so many people will die this year for lack of water. And the things that we take for granted, the things that we pour down the sink, there's going to be thousands and thousands of people that die from. Have you ever thought that that's a gift from God, just a drink of cold water? You know, a blink of your eye, a breath that you take in. You know, we don't think about those things, that we have those needs in our lives. But God says what? Remind yourself that you're dependent on me, that I'm in control of all this, and I give you those things. And those things show us how much God loves us and how much He cares for us. And so we see a praise there. And then we start out with a petition. And then He gets into confession, because we always have confession in our lives. Anybody in here don't sin? Well, no, there's not, because all of us are sinning. We sin daily. I sin daily just like you do. So we have a time of confession. It says in verse 12 there, it says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." And He goes into this confession. And what confession is, that God, I admit that I was wrong. God, I admit that this is sin. And who's it sin towards? It's sin towards Him. It might be others involved in your sin, but it's sin towards God, because all sin is. And so I see my sin, I see what I've done as God does. I base my life on a biblical worldview. I don't try to base my life on what the world thinks about what's right and wrong. I base it on what God says is what's right and wrong. Because why? Because He gets to. He gets to set the rules. I don't. Doesn't anybody else. God sets the rules. Why? Because He's the creator of all this. He put it all together, and we're here because he wants us to be here. And confession is doing what? Saying, God, I see what I've done as you see it, and I'm a sinner, and I recognize that, and I'm confessing this. And so confession is the opposite of making excuses for life. We're living in a world today that makes excuses. Have you noticed lately that everybody's the victim? I just watched the news. We have a world full of victims. Well, everybody in here has had somebody do something to them that is bad. And if you live like that, if you live in the past, you'll never go forward. And so you make excuses for what we do, even the bad things that we do, because you say, well, I've been hurt, or I've been done this to, or somebody's taken advantage of me. Everybody can say that. But what you need to realize is we have to come out of that being a victim and realize that we can have victory through Christ. And all of us are victims, and we need to realize that and confess it. What? Stop making excuses for our sins, saying that somebody else's, it's their fault. They did this, or they said this, or they acted in this way. You've got to take ownership of your own life and realize that you can't go through life being the victim. If you do, you'll never get anywhere in life. And you need to understand that. And so what confession is, it's coming clean with God. And saying, listen, there's things in my life, there's things that I've done, or things that I've said, or ways that I've acted that are wrong, and I'm coming clean with you, God. I want to see it as you see it, and I want you to be in control of those things. And so as we seek and ask and accept God's forgiveness, then what? The more we're apt to forgive other people. When I understand that I'm not perfect, and that's not hard to do, and you begin to have to confess to God and realize that you're living in sin and you do things that are wrong, then it makes you more willing to forgive other people. But see, if you're on your high horse and you've got your nose stuck in there and every time it rains you drown and you think you're somebody special, then you think you don't owe that to anybody or you shouldn't give that to anybody. But listen, we all put our pants on the same way, amen? And we need to realize that if all of us have things in our lives that are wrong and there's somebody out there that's having to overlook those things or having to forgive us of those things, and as I think about that and I realize that, then it makes me more willing to be forgiven towards other people. Because I have said, so God's forgiveness for me, his love for me, and all that I've done, it makes it easier for me to be willing to forgive other people around me. So don't ever forget that. You know, he who has no sin, throw the what? First stone. And so anybody in here that hadn't sinned? No. So if you're throwing rocks at somebody, you need to take a step back and look at yourself. And look at what God's forgiven you for. Look at how far you've gone and how he's brought you back. Look at all the things, how much he loves you and cares and accepts you, even though you don't earn those things, or even though we don't deserve those things, God's still willing to give us those things. So don't ever do it to someone else if what you're not willing for God to do for you. And realize that. Be forgiving towards other people, because we've all sinned. And so he lays this out here. It says forgiving. It's more applicable when we feel forgiven because we're all sinners. When you feel loved by someone, when you feel cared for by someone, then what happens is you're more willing to give that out to other people. The person that's hateful and mean and angry and bitter, there's something in them. They don't feel love. They don't feel compassion. They don't feel cared for. They don't feel forgiven. And so they're lashing out and they're wanting to hurt other people. Because why? Because they're hurting themselves. There's a phrase that goes around, it hurt people, hurt people. And so when you're hurting inside, it makes you want to hurt other people around you. So if you're hurting other people around you, take a look on the inside. Get down to the root of the problem and ask yourself, what's wrong with me? More than likely what it'll be is that you don't feel loved. You don't feel cared for. You don't feel forgiven. But listen, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that God does love us. And how do we know that? Look at the cross. Look at what he was willing to give for you. He gave his son for you. He cares about you and he loves us. And Jesus is laying it out here for them. Then the fourth thing he goes into protection. All of us need protecting. He says here in verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We have an enemy in this world. If you believe in God, you better believe in the devil because he's real also. And he's out to get us. He tries to tear us apart. He's the one that tries to destroy our lives. And if he could do anything to try to destroy your life, he'll do that. Why? Because he wants to take you out of the game of what God's doing in your life. He wants to take you away from the things that God's trying to do in your life. And the devil's willing to do that. So we need this protection that he gives us. And this protection, this word means to be watched over like a shepherd. And so we see in the Bible that the Bible teaches us that God is like a shepherd and he looks over us and he cares for us. And then it says lead is asking for direction, where delivering is asking for protection. So we're saying, God, we want you to lead us. We need direction in our lives because we don't really know where to go. But we're also doing what? We need delivering because why? We get into trouble in our lives. We get in things in our lives that we don't need to get into. And so leading is saying to God, I cannot sin without your help. And it's a prayer of offense. It's what it is. And so we need to understand that. Leading is saying, God, I cannot stop sinning without your help. And so we need to ask ourselves today, how am I trying to stop sinning? Is it on yourself, own selfishness? Well, it'll never happen like that. You can't fight long enough. You can't keep going. You'll quickly tire. And this is what a lot of people have said on religion. I can't do it. I give up, you know. I can't live and not sin. None of us can, see. We have to realize all of us fall into sin. We all fall down from time to time. And so what we're asking God here is protection. God, protect me. Help me to get through these things. Help me get past it, what the devil is trying to do in my life. And so it's a prayer of offense, and it's helping me before I fall. We see the things that we're capable of. We see the things that are out there that's going against us. And we're asking God, I need your protection to get me through this, to protect me, to get me past these things that are trying to pull me down and drag me down. What you need to realize, all of us in here today, all of us have triggers in our lives. And for some people, it's one thing. For some people, it's something else. But the devil knows what your trigger is, what will draw you away from God. For some people, it's materialism, and all he has to do is wave a little dollar at you, and man, you'll chase after it. Doesn't matter how much it is. Well, you know, it's just chase after a dollar. Materialism is our biggest idol in America today. For some people, it might be sexual sins. For other people, it might be other things. And so, but the devil knows how to draw you away from the things of God. And what this is saying, God, you know those things about me, and I know the devil knows those things about me. So you protect me because I know he's going to go after my trigger. He's going to try to draw me away from you. And he knows what it takes to do that. And he knows what it takes in your life. Do you know? See, how you fight an enemy is you know about the enemy. So you need to know that the devil's not everywhere all the time. He doesn't know what you're thinking, but what he can see is he can do what? He can watch you, or his demons, he can watch you, and he can see the things that pull you down. He sees the things that trip you up, and those are the things he'll put in your life. For some, it might be drugs or alcohol. For some, it might be materialism. Like I said, for some, it might be sexual things, but he puts those stumbling blocks in our lives to trip us up and get us out of fellowship with God and get us away from God. And what that does is it takes us out of trying to see people come to know Christ. The devil is not afraid of you being here and worshiping. The devil is afraid of you going out and being the people of God when you leave here. And if you're struggling every day today is just survive yourself, the thing is you don't have any time to think about anybody else. And so all of a sudden your Christianity becomes what? It's all about me. God blessed me. God used me. God helped me. And so I can't extend myself and make myself usable for other people because why? Because I'm always trying to help myself and get past those things. But God's there with me, and he's doing what? He can play offense in our lives and protect us from those things. Then the next thing he says, lead us, but also he says, deliver us. Deliver is a prayer of defense. The devil has attacked me, and I've fallen down. And so I need God to help me back up. Now that I've sinned, God, I need you to help me back up. And God is willing to forgive us. How many times will he help us back up? As many times as it takes. How far will he get you back? Listen, as far, as deep as he has to go, he'll drag you back out. He'll help you come back out of those situations. There's a lot of people in our church today. You know, it's so funny to come into church and everybody's cleaned up and looking good, you know, but you never know what people's been through. Well, when you're a pastor, you get to see inside people's lives. And a lot of times things have happened in people's lives years ago, and they'll tell you something, and you say, well, I'd have never thought that. You know, I'd have never seen you in that light, you know, and things like that. But listen, we have a big, big God, amen, like Mike likes to say. And he's pulled a lot of us out of some slimy pits, amen, and set our feet on high ground. And now we're different people, and we look different, and we act different. Because why? Because of what God's done in our lives. And he can do the same thing for you, and he's wanting to do that. He cares about us, and that's what it's laying out here. He'll deliver us from the evil one, because the Satan is always after us. And then he gets through this. He goes into this, and he talks about praise, and he talks about protection. He talks about all these things, and he talks about these things. And then he gets down to this condition. And here's where a lot of people get off here. And so we don't usually include this in the Lord's Prayer, but I want to today because this is a hard scripture. And this is what it says here in verses 14 through 15. It says this. It says, excuse me, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men for their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, so that would bring us back in. And this is the separation here. When you get saved, you have to realize that you have two things when you get saved. First of all, when we get saved, we have a relationship with God. And that's what we are. Now, God is our Heavenly Father, and we're His child. And the Bible tells us that's done through grace. And what the word grace means is it's God giving me something I don't deserve. And so if it's not grace, it's works. And so if I deserve something, then I had to work for it. Okay? It's like me praying, accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and saying, okay, now if you don't get baptized and go to church and read your Bible and give and serve, then you're not in, okay? Well, that's a works type salvation. That's what a lot of people think. It's a type of a works type salvation. Well, a lot of people try to tie these verses into that. So what they're saying is, well, the Bible's saying here that if I don't forgive other people, then God's not going to forgive me. Well, let me tell you what. Most of us in here are in pretty bad shape, amen? Most of us would be going to hell. Because there's a lot of people in here, we might forgive, but we don't forget. And we think a lot of times that isn't forgiving them. But what we have to understand is that's not what the Bible's teaching here at all. When we have a relationship with God, that comes through grace. And God does what? He sets us apart. Now we're children of God. He sets us apart. And now we have a relationship with Him. And that can never change. That's eternal. It's eternally set. Now the Holy Spirit is inside of us now. But the thing about it is, He's talking about something daily here. Now, what he's talking about here is now he's talking about a relationship. We're saved in a relationship, but now we have fellowship with God. And what is it? That's our day-to-day communication with Him. That's our day-to-day walk with God. It's just like in a family. I mean, I have a father and a mother, and I'll always be their child, regardless of what I did, regardless of what I said or whatever. And they were mad at me several times, and I didn't talk to them for sometimes days and weeks at a time as I got older. But I always knew what? That was my mom and that was my dad. I could always go back to them, okay? Well, the Father's the same way. We have that relationship, and that never changes, but our fellowship does. And what he's saying here, when we're unwilling to forgive other people, then what he's saying is that fellowship with God is broken. And the most miserable person in the world is a person that's a Christian that's out of fellowship with God. Because you know you're missing something. You know your prayers are not getting above the ceiling. Because why? Because the Holy Spirit convicts you. It reveals those truths to you. It lets you know your wrongness and how wrong you really are. And so it's a miserable feeling to be a Christian, to say that I'm a believer and not be in fellowship with God. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying it's an act of obedience. And that's what forgiving other people really is. It's an act of obedience. We could put a lot of things there, you know, and not just forgiveness, but a lot of things. We could put that in there. Because why? He's showing an act of obedience. So what's this? This is condition. Sin stands in the way of God blessing us. It stands in the way of God using us. You know, why are people raised in the same family or raised in the same church and some are doing great things for God and some are sitting on the sidelines? Because one thing, sin. They're not obedient to God. They're not following through with things. They're not walking in the Spirit with God. They're not being obedient. And that's what he's saying here. They've lost fellowship with God. And God's not, listen, God will not use a dirty vessel. And that's when we come to God on a daily basis to get ourselves cleaned up, not for a relationship, but for fellowship with God. That we want God's blessing. We want God to use us. We want God to do things in our lives. And we want to show Him those things. And so our fellowship, when we sin against God, our fellowship is broken. And so we're saved by grace. That's relationship. But our obedience keeps us close to God in what we call fellowship. So what do we do when we sin? Well, here's what we do. We confess it. And what is confession? Confession, we talked about a while ago. Confessing is what? It's just acknowledging that I've sinned. It's not acknowledging that I've done something wrong. It's not making excuses like what we said earlier. It's acknowledging, God, I've sinned against you. I've done something wrong. And then that's only the beginning of it. You know, admitting it's only the beginning of it. And then what we do is we turn from it. That means that, God, I don't only want to admit it, but I want to live differently. And we call that repentance. That's a biblical word that we give it. But what it is, it's called turning and going direction. I was going in the wrong direction, but now I want to go in the right direction. And we call that repentance. And it's telling God that I don't only know that I'm sinning, that I want to do something against sin. I want to do something away from sin. I don't want to act and do those things anymore. I want to be a different person. And what does that look like? Well, it looks like one thing. It comes out of obedience. And so when we acknowledge it and we repent from it, what the outcome of that's going to be, it's going to be a sense of obedience. We're going to be obedient to God. So let me ask you here today, are you living an obedient life to God? You know, you're sitting here today, if you're a believer, that the Holy Spirit, He's convicting you of maybe something. I mean, something snaps into your mind. I know I haven't forgiven somebody. I'm mad at somebody, or I'm doing something wrong. You know, it might be, you know, it might be the people you're running around with. It might be the things that you're watching on TV. It might be the things that you're listening to on the radio, and you know that there's something wrong. And the Holy Spirit, he begins to, he convicts that. And so now here's your decision. Will I acknowledge that? We use the word confession. Will I confess that? Will I repent from that? Will I turn and go in the other way? You know, and will I be obedient to that? Well, the choice is yours. So you have a choice in the matter. God's not going to twist your arm. What he's going to, he's giving you a choice. But that choice, listen, you have a choice to say no, but you don't have a choice of the consequences that follow those things. See, a lot of us in here have been believers for a long time, and some of us, after we got saved, we made some major mistakes in our lives. And what you need to realize is this, is you can choose to sin, but you don't always choose the consequences of sin. And some people in here today that have been a believers for a long time, they can tell you, say, yeah, you know, I was a Christian, but I did this in my life, and I turned from that. But here's the consequences of that. That maybe I got divorced, or maybe my children won't talk to me, or maybe I broke fellowship with a friend or something like that. And now they won't forgive me, or I can't have that same relationship anymore with them. And so we make a choice whether we sin or not, but we don't get to choose what the consequences of those sins really are. And we need to understand that. And you need to understand. That's why you need to take it serious. You know, what's going to happen if you keep down the trail you're going? Well, the one thing I can tell you is this, is you're going to miss the blessings of God. You're going to miss being used by God. You're going to miss all those things that sin stands in the way of. And so forgiveness is what? Forgiveness is an act of obedience, is what he's saying here. And so, like I said, we could introduce a lot of words here instead of just forgiveness. It says what? It says, for if I forgive men for when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And so so it's an act of obedience, and it's keeping us in fellowship with God and keeping us close to him. So as we go through the Lord's Prayer, and you lay it out and you dissect this prayer and you see what it really means, what Jesus is doing here, he's teaching them all that they need to know about God. He's saying that you need to praise God. You need to have a praise for God. You need to petition God. You need to have a confession before God, and you also need the protection of God. And the last thing is all this is conditional. All these things of how God blesses you is what? It's conditional on your willing to be obedient to him. So all of us in here today, we're on some kind of a level of obedience. We're either obeying God or we're not obeying it. We're either following God or we're not following God. We call that walking in the Spirit. Are you walking in the Spirit today? If you're not walking in the Spirit of God, then you're missing out on some of the things that God wants to use you and things God wants to do in your life, and you need to realize that. So look there at closing. Do I need forgiveness today? Do I need forgiveness today? Well, most of us in this room do for something in our lives that we've done, you know. Maybe on the way to church, you know. Have you ever realized how, you know, you'll get in a fuss and a fight with your family on the way to church, you know? You think that's by accident? Everybody seems like they're in a hurry, they're worried, you know. You know, most people have to be at work at 7 or 8 o'clock. Do you ever notice how 10 o'clock seems so early and on Sunday mornings, you know? I mean, it just seems like it's early. Other times it's late, but now it's early. Because why? Because the devil just, he kind of gets us in a fuss and a roar. And, you know, we've done that. Mona and I, I was youth pastor in Halls when we lived in Dyersburg and drove to Halls. And we had, you know, I think we had 3 children at the time, and they all were small babies, you know. And we called the bridge between Halls and Dyersburg Crybaby Bridge, because every time we got there, somebody was crying. Somebody was mad. And the time I got to Halls, I was mad, okay? And so that's when I started driving my own vehicle, okay? And so even today, and that, you know, 20-something years later, I drive my own vehicle because I like to be early. I like to be early for things, and we won't go no further than that. But I like to be there. I like to be there. Mona says, I think I'll turn the lights on, turn them off. And I say, somebody's got to, and I ain't got a problem doing it, okay? But I like that, okay? And so we need to realize that things like that happen in our lives, but we have to be obedient to God. And things get us out of fellowship and give us out of, and so I got tired of going to the church and every Sunday I walking in and say, God forgive me, I got mad again, you know, I about strangled one of my kids. But I mean, it's kind of hard to worship like that, isn't it? Okay. So we have to ask those things and get obedient with God, because God loves us and cares for us. And he lays it out here for us and shows us how to do those things. And he like I said, this is not a prayer just to mimic, it's a model prayer to show us how we're to come to God. And all these things lead us into fellowship with God, and how we understand God's love for us, and how our obedience to him matters for us. And so, do we need forgiveness? For some of you, you need forgiveness for maybe something you've done. You're a Christian, maybe something you, but maybe some of you today, you've never had that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the forgiveness that you need today. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Friend, everybody needs to do that. Everybody has to do that to be a Christian. You can come to church. You can be we're going to baptize some folks. This water doesn't do anything to the inside. All this is symbolic. When they go under the water, it's symbolizing dying with Christ. And when they come up out of the water, it's symbolizing being raised with Christ. It's symbolizing they're dying with Christ and putting on a new life. And all that's taking place when they prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So all this water does here is showing you that they're not ashamed of what Jesus has did in their life. And they're just being obedient. What you need to realize when you get saved, listen, God doesn't make a suggestion that you be baptized. God makes a commandment that you be baptized, okay? And so it doesn't mean that you're not going to be saved, but what it does mean, it means you're living in disobedience. And so if you've prayed and accepted Christ and you've never been baptized, you need to get baptized, amen? And it's not a popular thing to do anymore, okay? But it's something that the God tells us to do, and we need to do that. But maybe for you today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never admitted that you were a sinner. You never believed that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross of your sins, and you never confessed Him as your Lord and Savior. Have you ever done that? Well, listen, that's what it takes to be saved. You can come to church, you can be baptized, you can take the Lord's Supper, you can read your Bible, you can pray, you can do all those things. But the first thing that God says, the only way you get into my family is through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so listen, you don't come to the Father through membership in a church. The only way you come to the Father is through Jesus Christ. Amen? And you have to be obedient. Maybe today that's what you need to do. You need to come forward today and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe today you just need to come at the altar and say, God, there's some things in my life that are not pleasing to you, and I know it. And I'm living in disobedience, and I'm tired of fighting, and I'm tired of feeling my prayers are not getting above the ceiling. And so I just want to lay some things out and say, God, I confess these things, and I want to repent of those things, and I will be obedient to you. Maybe that's what you need to do today. But God knows what your need is. So do you need forgiveness today, or do you need to be forgiving today? The lesson to learn today is God is willing and able. God is willing and able. You need to realize also a lot of times when somebody that you've hurt in life and you ask them to forgive you, that doesn't mean that they will. You need to realize that. But the one thing you need to realize also, even though they won't, God does. Amen? There's some people in my life that probably have not forgiven me for some things that I've done. I don't know who they are, okay? But I mean, I've hurt some people in my life. I realize that. And there's probably some people holding some grudges against me, okay? But let me tell you, one thing I do know, I went before God, and I know that He's forgiven me, and He's accepted my forgiveness, amen? And we have to understand that. And the last thing here is application. Feeling loved and free causes me to show love. Feeling loved and free causes me to show love. If you have a bitterness today, and it's like you're mad a lot and you're angry, there's something wrong. Listen, you're not to live life like that. That's not what life is for. Life can be so much better. And how it gets better is when you feel forgiven and you feel loved. And when you have that feeling, then it's easier for you to show that feeling to other people today. So if you're walking around and you're just mad at the world all the time, something needs to change. Life's too short for that. So give your life to Christ. Feel His love, feel His presence, feel His forgiveness. Realize what grace means, God giving you something you don't deserve. Realize what mercy means, God not giving us what we do deserve. Realize that's the God that we serve. And how do we know that? Look at the cross. Look at the cross. Look what He was willing to give for you. Just you, He was willing to send His Son to die on the cross for you. That shows you how much God loves you and how much God cares for you. And when we go to our Heavenly Father, we need to realize that the only reason we're here on this earth is because He wants us to be here. And every breath we take, every drink of water we drink, it's all a gift of His, and He does it because He loves us. Do you feel loved by God today? Amen? Do you feel loved by God today? Amen. You should. Let me tell you, when you do, your life will change. And your whole personality will change as you feel loved by God because you're more willing to extend the love to other people around you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, dear God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for laying out here a model prayer for us. And it shows us how we're to come to you, Lord, and can come to fellowship with you. It shows us how high and lifted up you should be and how humble we should be because of who we are and how much you've done for us. God, help us realize today as we come to prayer, God, we come not only as you as a giver, but God, you as a creator. God, help us to realize many times it's easy for us just to worship your hand and forget about your face. But God, we come here today and we want to lift you up because, God, you are holy. And God, we worship you for just who you are. And God, we just want to say here today that we love you and we care for you and we thank you for all of who you are and what you've done for us, Lord. And God, we do thank you for your hands. We thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for the lives that we live. We thank you for the things that you've given us, Lord. And sometimes we take those things for granted. And so, God, as we come to you in prayer, let us evaluate the way that we pray. And God, is my prayer all about just me and what I want and need out of life? Or, God, is it also a prayer of petition, is a prayer of praise that I lift it up to you, God, thanking you for who you are and what you've done in my life, God, and who you are in my life? God, let us be people of prayer, and let us pray, dear God, to glorify and honor you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God wants to give you that opportunity to do that today. Or maybe you're here today and you need me to pray with you or for you about something. Or maybe it's not even about you, about somebody else. Maybe it's something else going on in somebody else's life that you'd like for us to pray with you about, or me to pray. Or maybe the altar, you just want to come and pray for a situation in your life of what God's going or what's going on in your life today. But we want you to know, whatever your need is, you come today. This invitation is from God to you. You come. Let's all stand. Right?